Good morning, and welcome each one. We can't welcome you enough, but it is good to be here, and I always take this opportunity to thank God. I thank God first and foremost for allowing me to do this. I've said it before, this was not my plans. I don't think there's many people that set out to preach the word. I think it's a unique calling, and I'm not worthy of it by any means. But I am thankful that He allows me to do that, and it's amazing to see how God works, because it's not me, it's God. So I welcome you this morning, and just kind of an introduction as for the message this morning. The title is Darkness Overtakes the Light, and it's kind of a unique message, and I've heard messages similar to this preached before, but in a whole different sense. I've heard it preached that light overtakes the darkness, and you know that we know that darkness can't exist where there's light. But we're going to look at a little different view of that this morning, and I hope you get something out of it. It's kind of a different message. The points didn't come together like I was hoping they would. I actually rewrote the whole message about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, but it's okay, because that's the way God was leading me. So we're going to look at how the darkness can overtake the light, and I'm going to get a little more in depth of it, but you know, that happens when we allow it to. That happens when we respond the way we respond to things that happen in our life. You know, God, He gives us that free will. He gives us, we can make our own choices. And kind of a disclaimer, I kind of jokingly put this in there, but it's true. It's going to sound like that I'm giving Satan a little bit more power than God, but I'm not. This is not giving Satan power over God. It's basically showing us how our decisions affect our lives and the outcomes of our lives, and actually the people around us. Not only our lives, it affects everybody. So to start off with, my first point is going to be choices and our focus. And like I said earlier, we make choices, and that changes our focal point a lot of times. And as far as scripture goes, I'm going to be jumping around. I'm not really going to park anywhere. It's going to be just jumping everywhere, basically. But to start out with, I'm going to read a little bit out of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And everything came out of the English Standard Version of this. I looked at all different versions, and this one, God kept leading me back here. So this is out of the English Standard. But Galatians 6, 7, and 8 tells us that, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows in his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows in the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So like I said, kind of opening up, we choose where we focus a lot of times. All the time, really. Not a lot of times, all the time. It's our choice. We can focus on the darkness, or we can focus on the light. And kind of how this message came together, a little story. I've got to brag on our Friday night prayers that we had. This was another message birthed out of that. And I was basically sitting outside, and there was a thunderstorm coming in, and it was, the clouds were rolling from across the street this way. And I sat there, and God started revealing, what are you focusing on? Are you focusing on the dark clouds? And then I started seeing the little breaks in the clouds. And everybody that's ever sit and watch a storm roll in, you know that there's breaks in those clouds. There's little bits of light that comes through. And it was just like God was showing me. He said, you can focus on the storm, or you can focus on that light that's coming through, the little bit of light that's breaking through. And I'm not somebody that journals. That is the hardest thing for me to do, I'm telling you. But during those prayer nights, I would bring in my journal, and I just started writing what God was revealing. And about 2.5 pages later, this was birthed, kind of. But it's amazing to see how God can use anything to show you He can show you anything through anything, really. I know that didn't make sense, but He can use those storms to show you a little bit of, you know, life and what we are dealing with in life sometimes. And, you know, those storm clouds, they represent the struggles in our life. And, of course, I couldn't do this message without mentioning the pandemic. I mean, that's the going thing now. But you know, we have to think about during that pandemic, where was our focus? Or where is our focus even now? Is it on the darkness of the pandemic, or are we focused on God? Are we allowing God to lead us through this pandemic? It's an election year. What about the political junk going on? What are we focused on? Are we focused on it, or are we going to focus on God, and we're going to let God lead us? And then you go to the doctor and you get a bad report. Are you going to let that be your main focus, or are you going to focus on God and allow God to work through that? Even if the doctor tells you, you've got a month to live. Live that month for God. And you know, that list can go on. You can continue to add to that list. I know that everybody in here can think of something in their life that can go on this list. But you know what we need to do? We need to step back and we need to focus and see where our focus is. We need to make sure our focus is on God and not on that bad report or anything. This is how darkness overtakes the light, is when we don't allow God to be our main focus. It's not God that's leaving us. It's us allowing the darkness to come between God and us. So what happens when we focus on the darkness? This is going to be kind of the gloomy part of the message, but it is what it is. This was actually one of the parts that I had to rewrite because it just didn't work in. But, you know, what happens when we focus on the darkness? And what does the darkness lead to? The first thing it leads to is it leads to destruction. When we focus on darkness, our lives become just a big mess. I mean, it's just a bunch of junk. And when we focus on that, it seems like that everything we do leads to that destruction. And you may ask, what is destruction? Destruction is the action or process of causing so much damage to something that it no longer exists or cannot be repaired. And you know, how many times do we go through stuff that we feel like that we just cannot be repaired, that we cannot come back from it? But you know, if we focus on God and we keep our focus on God, He'll be there for us. But when we allow that darkness to come in, that's when everything goes to destruction. We see that it leads to destruction. It also leads to despair. And I feel like that destruction and despair goes together somewhat. Despair is the complete loss or absence of hope. And a lot of times we go through life and we have no hope. The only hope we have is God, is Jesus Christ. But you know, Destruction and despair, I think, go together. But in the end, darkness leads to damnation. And this is something that's not preached on a whole lot anymore. You don't hear a lot of preachers preaching on it. Damnation is the condemnation to an eternal punishment in hell. Plain and simple. And 2 Peter 2:4 tells us that, for if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. We see here that even the angels, when they sin, were cast into hell. And we see hell is shown here as a gloomy darkness. But then in Matthew 8:12, it tells us that while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we see another description here. They'll be thrown into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I've been asked before, how can there be darkness whenever there's eternal fire? And I can't truly answer that, but I do know that a lot of times the dark smoke will cover the fire. I've seen it in, going in fires. I've been in fires that you can feel it. You can feel the fire, but there's so much smoke you can't see it. And I just kind of picture that in my mind. And then, you know, you get to thinking about everything else going on, the fires, the darkness, the weeping, the gnashing of teeth. And a little story I done a little preparation for this message. It was kind of odd the way it happened, but I was getting ready for this message, and God just kept revealing the darkness. I mean, he just kept revealing darkness. So I went out one night, had my flashlight, of course, and went out one night behind the house in the woods. And you got to think, we've lived there 25 years, so I know the woods like the back of my hand. I mean, I've tromped through them everywhere. So I went out, went a little ways down, and I knew where I was at, knew everything that was going on, but I turned that light off. And that darkness was so overwhelming. I knew where I was at. I knew that there was nothing going to bother me. I knew nothing was going to happen. But I was standing there in total darkness, could not see anything around me, and that anxiety started. And then I get to thinking, I mean, I maybe stood there 2 or 3 minutes with the light off. But God starts revealing to me, you've got darkness, you've got the heat, you've got smoke, you've got people yelling, you've got gnashing of teeth, you're in a strange place. And friend, I tell you, that's a place that you don't want to go. That was very eye-opening to me. It changed my whole thought on trying to get people, keep people from going to that place. So I recommend you do it. Go outside and just find a dark place and turn your light off and just stand there. And there, I can tell you, there's just a feeling of doom that's over you. Even though you know where you're at, and you know, there's still just a little bit of being out of control there. So, but we've looked at the darkness, we've looked at some gloomy stuff. Let's look at a little bit of good stuff. We know that Jesus is light. The Bible tells us in multiple places that he's light. But in John 8:12, the Bible says, and Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Like I said kind of in my opening statement, darkness cannot exist where there's light. God's word plainly tells us that. Again, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says that this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So we see that there's no darkness when God's around, when Jesus is around. That God is light. So I had to ask, we have to ask a question. If God is light and there's no darkness that exists in him, then why do we have darkness in our lives? And it's because we allow it to come in. I just happen to have a flashlight with me. And you know, I can turn that light on and y'all can see the light. Everybody can see the light. That light's still there, but what if I place a piece of cardboard over it? That light's gone. That cardboard represents the darkness that's in our lives. The light's still there. You can see it. But when that darkness comes in, that light's gone. And you know, just like that light, we see that darkness can't exist when there's light, but we can allow darkness to cover that light. We can allow darkness to come into our lives and just mess up everything. But where did that light go? One thing that God revealed through this, getting this message together, was that light didn't go anywhere. The light was still there. The light didn't move. We allowed stuff to move in front of it. Sin can allow that darkness to enter into our lives. Focusing on things other than God can allow that darkness to enter our lives. Like I said earlier, that bad news that we receive from the doctor can allow that darkness to enter our lives. And again, the list goes on and on. So how do we avoid the darkness? We have to put our trust and our faith in God. We have to focus on the light instead of the darkness. So how do we start that? How do we start to change our focus? First and foremost, we have to make sure and we have to accept Christ as our Savior. Without that, there's going to be darkness in your life. But once we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we need to turn everything over to him. And this is something I know we talked about in our group. A lot of times we turn our stuff over to God. We'll turn it over to him. But I think you mentioned it last week. But we always take a little bit back. You know, or we may give him part of it and we're like, well, God, I'm just going to keep this part over here. You don't need to know about this, or which he already does. But we're just going to stick this on the side back here, and I'm going to hang on to this part. So you just don't worry about that. You just take care of the rest of it. Or you take care of the big things, I'll take care of the small things. But you know, when we keep those little things, he can't trust us with the big things. When we're basically telling him that we can take care of it ourselves, we can take care of this, you need to focus on these, then he can't trust us with anything. So we need to accept him as our Savior. We need to turn everything over to him. And during all that, we need to pray and we need to seek his guidance. Because without his guidance, we're just wandering around in a lost world and have nowhere to go. We don't know where to go. We see in 2 Chronicles 7, verses 13 through 15, and you mentioned this earlier, to start with, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilences among my people, if my people, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. So we see that God wants us to humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways. When we do that, we'll hear from heaven and we'll be forgiven of our sins and our lands will be healed. And I don't know about you, but I think that our land needs healing today. We need to pray for a healing in our land today. We need to pray for a healing in our country today. We need forgiveness and we need healing today. Not only our land, our people, our leaders. We need to get our priorities right. And we need to get God at the top of that priority list. And once we do that, we will then see Him move. We'll see that darkness, it'll go away. And that light will enter in. And that's when we'll start living. So as I get ready to close, it's a quick message, very quick message. But you know, our choices will determine whether we focus on darkness or whether we focus on light. And when we focus on darkness, it will lead to destruction. It will lead to despair. And it will lead to damnation. But we know that Jesus is light. We know that darkness cannot exist where there's light. And when we allow that darkness to overtake the light, that's when all the junk comes into our lives. Just like with the flashlight, the light was still there. Just that darkness comes in between us and God. So how do we avoid that darkness? We have to put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. We have to accept Him as our Savior. We have to turn everything over to Him. And then we pray and we seek His guidance. That's how we get the darkness out of our life, out of our life. And we allow that light to come in. Like I said, quick message. Worship team, if y'all want to get ready to head up. I beg you today, this altar is going to be open. The altar is always open. But it's going to be open today, and if you've got that darkness going on in your life, come up here and lay it on the altar. Give it to Him. Give it to God. Don't leave with it. Leave it here. Leave it all here. Don't leave part of it and take part of it home, or don't leave it and then when you walk out the door, grab it and go with it, take it with you. Leave it all here. We want to see this. We want to see our lives flourish. We want to see the lands healed. Then we've got to turn it all over to God. We've got to allow Him to work in our lives. We've got to allow Him to have free reign in our lives. You don't have to walk out of here the same way you come in. If there's something going on, if there's something bothering you, leave it here. And if you need to talk to somebody, grab somebody, and look to anybody in this place to talk to you. If you're having problems, if there's something going on, leave it here. Don't leave here the same way that you came.